Welcome to the official podcast of Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society. This is Whispers from the Dark. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Whispers from the Dark. I am your host, Barnaby, and we are going to start airing some of the amazing interviews that we had at the Haunting at Hawgood Mill Historical Site down in Pickens, South Carolina. And our first guest on the show, I had the honor and privilege of talking to Aaron G. Thompson from 28 Days Haunted. So I hope that you guys enjoy this interview.
Well, hey, Barnaby, thank you, by the way, for asking me to speak with you. This is awesome.
Thanks for coming.
My name is Aaron G. Thompson. I might be known for 28 Days Haunted most recently. I'm an afterlife researcher, or aka ghost hunter. I've been doing it since 1999. So as of today, it's been about 24 years. That's crazy. So, yeah, what else did you want me to say?
You started out with 28 Days Haunted as, like, was your first television show, right?
No, actually, Nick Groff produced the show that I was honored to be associated with, called Breaking Frequencies, on Amazon Prime on UK and the States. If you go there now, it seems we've been kicked off the U.S. side of things. Must be racy, but no, it battled really the idea of science and paranormal. So it was a heavy emphasis on pushing the field forward in duplicatable scenarios. So yeah, that Amazon Prime was really my first experience of kind of stepping into the TV world. Of course, YouTube before that and other videos. But yeah, I've just been building the idea of the mechanic of afterlife, you know, that's been my goal.
So what got you started into all that, though?
I didn't believe this existed. I thought it was silly. I had a weird fear of death when I was 8 years old, and that's super strange. And I know that's strange for an eight-year-old to be thinking of such high octane, you know, situations like death. But I did, and I was worried, like, well, what do we live for? What's the point of us living if we just disintegrate and just go, boof, done, nothing? And my early teenager years, I would ask people who were incredibly important, peers, teachers, ministers, coaches, you know, do ghosts exist? That was my gateway drug to afterlife, in a sense, and that was my conversation, my dialogue in my head. So do ghosts exist? Half of them said yes, half of them said no, all with the same answer, just because. So that didn't work with me too much. You know, if you want something done, you do it yourself. So that's when I decided to start researching it pretty aggressively when I was 17. And that in 1999, that's what I was 17. And I was still in high school. But I was the nerd, secretly the nerd, and no one knew I did this, but I was super, super fascinated. I hit it. I did 2 years of book research before I even hit on-site investigation. And my first team, it was 2001, is my first investigation. I still have it documented. I still have it documented on paper. But my team had to be 21 years or older, because I had to take it serious. So literally, I scouted for the crew. Typically, were people I worked with at the movie theater at the time. But I threw out a manila envelope at them and said, "This is your job. Do you want to take it?" Because I wasn't here to give people tours of ghost stuff. I was serious. I wanted to really do it. So if they're gonna just watch them, I want to put them to work. So you're a photographer. You're a recorder. You're, you know. I mean, you know, I thought it would work well enough. That first site, I was ran off. We all were. Yeah, ran off by coyotes. Yeah, that was fun. It's fun, outside sites. But it was fascinating because, again, it was my first time jumping into it. And my first location I chose was a site that graveyard that a loved one was buried into just weeks prior. She didn't graduate with me. Unfortunately, she died, lost her life. Car accident, went too fast around a corner and so forth. So I thought, you know, let's hit someplace that's more personal to me. I just me kind of rolling through ideals of a potential ha-ha ghosts here. Look at me. And it was fascinating because I didn't know where she was buried. I went to the memorial, but I didn't do the funeral or the burial, I should say. And so I didn't know where she was buried. And when we arrived, the team asked me, so where is her grave? Because we're going to do some sessions, EVP and so forth. And I said, I don't know, just look in the dark with our flashlights. But we turn, there's this balloon just kind of waving, and one of the other people say, oh, look, that one's waving at us. So we started there, which was quite a few yards in front of us, and that actually was her stone that was waving at us. And I was the only one, it was a cold night, kind of a chill night, and everyone else was cold. I was the only one warm, perfectly comfortable. Call it what it is. And of course, my overthinking head at the time was analyzing potential possibilities, but it was unique to feel that. So yeah. Yeah, so I didn't know, and it took me about, say, 4 years, 5 years maybe, before I said, okay, we got something here. There's something in this field that's gonna keep me going further.
So you had said that you had talked to like your pastor and stuff about that. Were you raised religious, or how did that affect any of this?
I was raised with the atmosphere of religion. So I didn't go to church every week, but occasionally I did, and definitely around holidays. But it wasn't opposed, and the idea of God was there. But God as a mechanic, I should say, right? And that all was there. And I wasn't opposed to that, but I really started challenging in my teen years, and just things that didn't make sense. Of course, your traditional, like, why are people just saying just because? And that's kind of why I went to look at an alternative. And again, afterlife in general, ghost was that gateway conversation. If there's a ghost, there's afterlife in a sense, in the low scale. But yeah, I mean, I asked them, and they all said it is or it isn't, and it's just because.
That seems to be the general answer with anything like religious. You ask a question and it just comes back because, you know, you're just supposed to believe, or, you know.
Just have faith, yeah, yeah, right.
That's why it's called faith.
Yeah, yeah, blind believing, exactly.
Yeah. So we were talking about earlier, like your like the quantum mechanics and stuff like
yeah.
that. You want to get into that? Because I was trying to listen to you there. There's so much going on here. Now I have ears.
Right, no, this is nice. I can hear.
Yeah.
Hear. Yeah. So I wanted to dig deeper. There's a reaction I had with a group on site in about 2003 or 2004, and it was a full apparition that was witnessed by myself and two others. Fascinating. The one of the parties was a psychic feeler. He was literally filling up this dude's leg that I witnessed in full. It looked like a body, glass mold shape of a fisherman body with moving black smoke in its core and in the frame of it. So, and it moved like a flipbook animation, because when I said, well, he goes, Aaron, something's right in front of me. And I go, dude, he's right in front of you. I froze, by the way. I wasn't badass by any means. Super not. I would have died if it was, you know, a monster of some sorts. And technically, I guess it would be. But the other lady who was with us witnessed it as well, but she witnesses a hovering black mass, which was fascinating. But it's really how, what I felt is how our culture kind of, or our practice, I should say, demonstrated how we viewed this thing. I was looking for an earthbound type of look, and I found something. While the other guy was a practicing psychic feeler, so his practice was solely focused on feeling. And he said that it felt like if two batteries, like negative, negative, positive batteries, would hit each other, they kind of bounce off. He goes, that's what it felt like, which was interesting. And then the other lady was actually a practicing minister. And she didn't believe in that this stuff even worked. She was cool. She just wanted to see what we did. I'm like, whatever. I love skeptics or cynics to go with because I knew that there's some potential value to this. So I just wanted to see their reaction. I didn't know her reaction was going to be a foot in front of foot exit out of the cemetery. And she ended up quitting her ministry, went to the mountains. I'm not sure what she's doing today. But I would love to follow up with her, just kind of get her side of what she felt that was for her. But she described on site what it was, a black floating mass. I witnessed it demanifest, which was fascinating because you don't hear too many stories on that. And the wind's going to say, no, you're not going to share the secret. Stop him now. It looked like the foreground was fine, the background was fine. I was in investigator mode, so these are things I'm chalking down. I'm writing on paper after the fact, after my frozenness. The subject itself, like a fade, glitch, wind blow combination, if that makes sense. It was like all of it. And then when he was gone, me and the psychic filler at the same time said, he's gone, verbatim. That's technically when the other party ran out. it was terrifying, you know, honestly. Yeah. It froze you. And I thought in my head, my exact thoughts was, actually, I had two. It's funny. I remember these two exact thoughts, and I regurgitated so much that this is it. I haven't changed my words. It's just like it was yesterday. Aaron, this is your fault. You were chasing them. And the other thought was, monsters do exist. I remember those two thoughts in my head. They were very loud. I was ready to put myself in home, actually, the next day, which was because I had no clue why my head exploded like that. I have no clue why I had that reaction. It made no sense to me. It rocked my world. It looked like a Disney stage prop right in front of me. And it was crazy. But before I did that, I decided to do real investigative work, as I trained myself to do. So I looked at the area lore, the historical lore, and the ghostly lore. And the ghostly lore said father and son haunted this location. And the historical data actually had a dialogue matching that. The father and son died, were first to be buried. They died in a boating accident. So they're first to be buried at that specific cemetery. And when I went to the area in the daytime, I looked at the stone that I witnessed this apparition, and it said, here lies father and son. All of it matched. Perfect storm. For me, for my head, I was about to walk out of the field at that point because I thought, this is too tough. I'm messing with values. I don't know my end game. I didn't understand. Like, do I believe? I don't know. I think there's something, but I still don't know. But at this point, it's like, damn, there's something. I was about to walk out, but now I'm more fascinated because what happened here? And I, for the next 10 years, I completely got it wrong because I was looking for density. It's totally not density. It's not kinetic. It's something else. And I do believe it's more consciousness oriented. And if we go to quantum, I went down a road with quantum physics, and I still touch bases with physics, but quantum mechanics even. And that dialogue got me a TED Talk. I was actually the second ghost hunter that was able to do a TED Talk performance or conversation. But mine got banned 3 weeks before it went live because I didn't have the 4 PhDs for the 6-minute talk that I prepared. That's okay. I went on tour with it, and I got the attention of the leading scientists of free electricity because I wasn't talking junk. Our algorithms matched. Now we speak. We're doing some collaborative efforts to see what we can do on both ends, on what they're trying to do and what I'm trying to do. So consciousness is really a huge foundation of the mechanic, at least a huge aspect of that. And it's just so fascinating on the road that we can go down. And then they introduced me to something called ether mechanics, which ether mechanics is like quantum mechanics. It seems like they share the same behaviors on ideas, but with quantum mechanics, aka quantum theory, it's just theory and some really good theories. Quantum excuse me, ether mechanics, there's actually some experiments that prove positive. So, like the Preston-Morley experiment that can visualize the energy around us. Fascinating. That's something that you don't see on your traditional science. This and the energy itself tends to have a consciousness behavior documented over and over again. I read the notes of the scientists. And they actually, it's funny, they put this little cliff note. They're like, we're doing this, blah, 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 blah. It seems to have a conscious behavior, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, wait, no, let's go back to the magic that just happened here. But they're terrified. The consciousness, it tends to have a free thinking or free flow. Like, not, it's more deliberate, less random, less quantum physics. Like, they have created free electricity, but it uses non-AC-DC capabilities, and they use what they call a dipole, which pulls basically the electricity out of the ether, out of thin air, and in the light it lit up bright. The kicker is what's the electricity in the middle of the light? Well, it started off looking like a nebula, which was fascinating, and then it morphed into a nebula, and then like an electric sea monkey that was almost like a godlike being, in a sense, in the bottle. That was free from the nebula look, and it would be more aware. And then, as they continued to do it, it just popped up this larger entity every time. And again, it was not a lost strand of electricity. It was a hyper-reactive, aware, sentient consciousness thing. So, yeah.
So it sounds like they're like trapping a entity inside of a bottle.
It's definitely not trapped. It can only hold its burn for about the light for, I think it was 500 milliseconds, which is a long time confined. So it's definitely not trapped, and I don't think we would ever get a moment to trap it, because it is. So, you know, like psychics, they are known to do some pretty unique things, potentially, theoretically, allegedly. I don't know where we want to put, right? Depends on what family you're talking to, what community. But I've seen some interesting things live. I've seen some interesting things on video. So just think of this little sentient, this being, right? It literally has data on everything ever, cosmically. So no language is out of reach. No intent is out of reach. It's pure intent. And so when the experiment was stopped in the 1960s, this one guy who was funding this project walked in, and he was done with the project. He was going to destroy it because they were getting too close to free electricity. And the, we'll just say, a big leader in electricity didn't want to lose his fat belly. So let's stop it. So this boss guy came in right when they popped this entity again in their middle experimenting. And he was shocked because, of course, they didn't tell the details to anyone because they were still trying to analyze what they're seeing. So this thing swung around like it's looking at this human that just walked in the room. And I mean, this guy's kind of excited, terrified, like a mix of both. Like, what am I looking at? And mind you, it doesn't necessarily have a face. It's just this electric, like, sea monkey looking thing, almost like a traditional ghost, it looks like, that you would see, with a tail and two arms and a hood, you know. But it swung towards him, and it broke the entire glass confinement around it and sent 100% of those shards of glass into the body of this human being, like a horror movie. Yeah, that happened. And the most fascinating thing, that's, you know, interesting, but it actually stayed out of that confinement for about 300 or so. I'm just trying to remember that it's a short time, 300 or so milliseconds. Like, it's just like looking at it, like, you son of a, you know, after that happened, he was injured, but it wasn't like a hard injury. It was a little piece of glass, definitely shocking and terrifying. Mm-hmm. The military was behind him to mafia style destroy the entire experiment, and they did that anyways. So it knew that this bad thing was about to happen. It said, here's a middle finger, now do what you have to do. So yeah, and that's something that I'm working to bring back. Not a My Pet Monster in everyone's house. I don't want that. That would be unpleasant.
So do you think, or was it ever discussed, like, is this the same entity each time, or are they creating another of that entity or consciousness?
Well, what my idea, and of course this is where, I mean, we're kind of front line at this point, it seems to be a mass entity. Like, it's sure it's one, but at the same time, it can be an all everything type scenario. A we are one type thing. So yeah, it very well could be. Something like that. And I know I'll be speaking a lot about this tomorrow in some context, and I'll tell you the overall blanket statement is I'm the only one, or at least very small percentage, I'll tell you that ghosts and spirits do not exist in the context that we feel that they do. They tend to be a biological reaction of the consciousness separating from the vessel upon expiration, leaving an echo or smart photo with AI capabilities. So Grandma's perfectly fine, but Metallica got it right. Memory remains. And that can grow. Like I said, with AI capability, we can create our own monsters, which is terrifying. And if you think about that emotional shed, because everything that we manage is emotion, like all the ghosts that we, the ghosts' locations, it's all this extreme emotional bleed or this extreme emotional intent from one of us that feel that something's there and something creates. Biologically, when we die, you know, we don't take our lungs with us, right? We don't take our heart, we don't take our brain, our limbs, our clothes. I mean, that's absurd. Everyone probably can agree that we don't take that. Why on earth would we take our lobes, which control the limbic system, hate and love, complete emotions? That's something that we had to put in place to give value while we're here. So here's a little twist of the script, the meaning of life type stuff. If I'm correct or on the right path of the research, meaning of life would be love, be feeling those emotions. If that's what we are when we're in the specimen, whether we're in a blade of grass, a tree, a fish, an extraterrestrial we can't see, it all loops around. I do feel the mechanic is there, just a loop, and the bigger picture is to collect the data that we're collecting right now and then loop back in to collect more data. So a repeat scenario.
Kind of like a reincarnation kind of thing.
Exactly.
I heard one of the psychics that has been on my show talked about how when you have an emotional reaction to something, like a traumatic event, something, part of your soul or consciousness kind of breaks off in these different locations. And that could be what you're feeling, you know, because like we're here at this place. And, you know, if we're going to a building here and someone's emotion or consciousness is still there, you're feeling that remnant, which is kind of what you said.
Yeah, exactly. That echo or that once was. I with the emotional state. And if you ask folks who have, even religious folks, that died officially on the table or that went to the light and came back, all of them say that they're void of emotion. They just feel peace. Well, that's void of emotion. That's you literally without the biological aspect to hate and love and anything in between, to worry. It all becomes logic. Even if you're like, oh, no one knows how to do the dishes, come back into the body. That wasn't necessarily an emotional thing. That was a mechanic thing. That was a consciousness just going blah, blah, blah. If you think about when you drink a lot and you start seeing, you know, your brain starts swelling, you're getting drunk, you don't slur your thoughts. You just, your give a cares go away. You know, you could still talk it through, but again, it's a very neutral state. You're taking out the aspect of biology that cares as much.
That's interesting. Another thing I was thinking about when you were talking there is you're talking about these, you know, the sum of all knowledge, it knows all. It's kind of like the Akashic record or the Akashic field.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so anybody that's listening familiar with that, that's kind of like, you know, what's going on.
Yeah.
What you're thinking.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And there's actually the team here, the Paranormal Research Institute, which are phenomenal, phenomenal people. I've known them for years, and I love the work that they're doing. They brought to my knowledge base, I believe it was them. I'm sure it was them. We'll say it's them for now.
Give them credit. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, right. That they actually took unbiased research sources of scientists that weren't religious or weren't necessarily identified religious, and just broke down DNA, I believe it was DNA, and they found out that there actually is a design crafting or capability. Like, it seems more with all the data broken, and I really do got to look at, see what that research is, because it's fascinating. I just haven't seen value yet in what I'm doing to go that way, but I am planning on picking up those papers and going over that, because I'm curious on the DNA and how the design aspect can still very well be a mechanic and not religion. I feel like I had to put a religion on what we do to provide more value. And value is important. You know, don't break value. If that's something that people are happy with, they're right. You know, because there's zero harm in my buildup. You know, if you believe it or if you don't believe it, you fine. You're living your life. Be happy while you're living your life. That's the big kicker.
Absolutely. That's amazing. That's totally different, you know, like a whole new viewpoint of a lot of this stuff. Yeah. You know, like I said, I talked to some people who have had those other kind of thought processes, and this goes way beyond that to another whole level of putting it all together. So.
And thank you. And this is, you know, I do love the research in the field. I appreciate you saying that. Doesn't make me the most popular ghost hunter after my researcher out there, but I'm not here to make friends. I'm just here to put the data together and see what we can do, you know, moving forward.
That's really cool, because it's not your typical stuff, you know, like I've watched your show and stuff, and I've seen you on there, and you know, it's totally, you know, I think you obviously know, like, TV is completely different than real life.
A lot of my sayings were void, yeah, of the edit. That's okay.
We're just gonna shove this off, you know. And a lot of people that you meet in person and get a chance to actually talk to from shows, and you do not know what's going on,
right?
Because it's the show has a narrative. They have this line that they want to push, and their storyline. And you know, we do our own documentaries and stuff as well. And at the end of the day, nobody's going to watch a documentary that doesn't have a story to it.
I literally just said that a little bit ago, and I don't think it was to you in there, to someone else. I said, look, my TV show is not going to change the world. The TV shows that are out there, they're not going to change the world. I go, the ones that if TV could change the world, because I've been saying that TV can't, you know, produce results, but I'm rethinking that. If you were to find something, it's going to be someone doing the documentaries, but they're never going to have the eyes, not never, you know, but it's going to be harder to have the eyes that the big produced shows are going to have. It's just the reality of it. But the good stuff is going to be, like, the real, like, stuff that could possibly change things are going to be those homemade documentaries.
And even so, like, some of the stuff that we've done for shows, we leave evidence out because it just doesn't fit. Like,
yeah,
we have one random piece of evidence that, you know, is really good, but it has nothing to do with anything else that we talked about or showed. And it's like, Well, we can't just stick it in there. But
and that's why I like Breaking Frequencies. When I was on Amazon, and I actually have those on a hidden link in YouTube, if you want me to throw them out there. To pass them forward, but it was kind of my play place. Like, I wanted to match the historian who was fabulous, Travis. He teaches U.S. history. It's his passion. And I never brought him on site to do an investigation. His job was to be the historian. So he would do the history, then I'd match the history with what we're finding paranormally, which we're finding psychically, and see if they all kind of combine. And it's pretty fabulous on how they come together.
Another thing I like is you're talking about, you know, the TV shows aren't going to change the world, but they are going to inspire the people like yourself that goes out there and does those other unique experiments and follows those other pathways that the TV isn't giving you.
The exposure is key.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I'm incredibly thankful for that, because now I got some exposure. We'll see where it goes, but I can only control my box, and I know that I love this field far, well, I can't say I love it more than anyone else. I love it a lot. To me, it's my world.
You meet a lot of great people out here, you know, like just the people that come up and just have the great stories and stuff with these events.
You do.
Yeah.
You do, and networking is key to these bents. You know, it's not about the ghost hunting aspect afterwards. I mean, that's fun, but it's learning techniques, it's networking, and it's just experiencing the community. I think some people, some groups, don't like to come to these events because they're like, oh, you can't really, there's cross-contamination. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of cross-contamination because you're not really putting your heavy, you know, boots to the ground here. You're just having fun, you're enjoying the community, and you're inspiring.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you learn stuff from other people here as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and hearing the other speakers and learning from their thoughts and ideas and perspectives and everything. And it's a really interesting, you know, experience to do this.
And running into you, Barnaby, was, like, exciting. I think that was one of my favorite openings. I know you before you knew me.
Well, thank you, sir.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thank you for all that you do.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Before we wrap up here, I wanted to give you an opportunity. You have one book out.
I do.
You want to talk about that, promote it, and tell people where they can get it?
Well, the book's actually only sold at conventions right now. I tried online, but it's just so infrequent for the most part, and I'm busy researching, guys. Yeah. I'm not sitting on my thumb trying to make viral TikToks, though I am on TikTok. It's so weird. Actually, it's funny. I did a TikTok the other day, haunted location. So I make these rings. That's really my bread and butter on how I pay for my rent and my bills and take care of my little girl. They're super customized. You go online on aarongthompson.com. I think I took off the link right now, but I'll get the link back on there. Once you go there, yeah, you'll see glow rings. But definitely on Facebook, I'm always posting up the link there. And yeah, I just put anything in these glow rings. So they glow in the dark. They glow in the dark. They're high quality glow rings. So when we're ghost hunting in the dark, we can see things. My ADD brain loves to see things. And I have blessed metal in mind that was given to me by a demonologist. I've done blood bonding rings. I've done ash cremation, you know, memorial rings. And I personalize the glow and the feel and the look for every one of them. They're kind of cool. And that's on aarongthompson.com. That pretty much will take you, it's my one-stop shop, will take you to all the social media spots.
Very cool.
And yeah, I am working on a book too, to bounce off what I talked to mostly about this talk here. It's going to be called Echo Cosmical Ether Mechanics, a Study of How Ghosts. So that's what I'm working on. Right now,
go to the website, click on it, because you're not going to remember how to spell it.
Yeah. And right now, I got Boo Hoo, A Ghost Crier Story. It's a children's book. It's actually super adorable, too. But yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, man. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Awesome meeting you. And hopefully, we see you out there. You got any other shows you're coming up this year that you're going to be at?
Not TV shows.
I know that button.
Oh, my gosh. I'll be actually with Ryan Buell keynoting an event next week at the South Carolina, Abbeville. I don't know. It's a big one. Belmont. And so I'll be there, and then I'll be in Wisconsin.
Spirits of the Spring.
And I'll be there. I'm excited. That's be April. And I'm doing, I think, a Comic-Con, a couple of them. One in May and then one in June. And there's the Battlefield. I got a few. I mean, they're all on the website, too. I'm definitely being Gettysburg.
All on your website?
Yeah. Yep. All on the website. And hopefully I'll be adding more as people see, oh, this guy actually has something to talk about. Let's book him. Yeah.
Very cool, man. Well, it's been a great pleasure talking to you. Thank you for coming on the show.
Cool. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Whispers from the Dark. To find out more about cryptids, anomalies, and the Paranormal Society, visit us at our website at wisconsincaps.com. That's wisconsincaps.com. There you can find links to all of our social media, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and our Patreon. You will see links to our online store as well, where you can get t-shirts, DVDs, and more. If you click on the public events page, you can find out where you can meet us in person and all the public events we have coming up. If you enjoy our podcast or our YouTube shows, please consider becoming a Patreon at patreon.com/WisconsinCaps. There you can find behind-the-scenes pictures and videos from all of our media, as well as bonus footage and evidence that we have collected. If you have encountered something you can't explain, we want to hear from you. Visit our website and click on Submit a Report on our main screen. You can choose to leave your contact information or simply remain anonymous. You can also reach us via email at wisconsincaps@gmail.com. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please contact us on our Whispers from the Dark podcast page on Facebook, or send us an email at wisconsincaps.com. Remember to like, share, and subscribe wherever you listen or watch or find us.